On the News Warrior this week, we are going to talk about two northeastern states, Arunachal Pradesh and Mizoram, and how they did the journey from being union territories to full-fledged states of the Indian Union, and what has been the trajectory as far as development and peace in that area is concerned. I'm Nitin Gokhale. So, as most of you are aware, the northeastern region comprises seven states which are interconnected within themselves but are still distant from what is known as the mainland of India. It is connected through the small Siliguri corridor which connects rest of India to the northeast. But in the northeast, the formation of the states have happened after different phases of their development and also of how they got integrated into India. Let's take Arunachal Pradesh, for instance, which became a state on 20th February 1987, as I mentioned, 35 years ago. It was a union territory from 1972. But before that, Arunachal Pradesh, which is also translated into English as land of dawn-lit mountains, was actually an administrative area which was under the control of the Ministry of External Affairs and not the Ministry of Home Affairs. That time, it was known as the Northeast Frontier Agency. Now, Northeast Frontier Agency was a distant place, remotely administered, very sparsely populated. In fact, even today, Arunachal Pradesh has the smallest population density in the country. In fact, it has the largest area in the northeastern region of 83,000 square kilometers plus, but a population only of about 13 lakh people, according to the 2011 census. Remember, there is a census due in 2021, which might get delayed to, was due in 2021, might get delayed again in 2022. So we are still going by the figures of the 2011 census. And Arunachal Pradesh was, as I said, known as a remote area, which in fact one of its most prominent townships or towns now, Tawang, came under the control of the Indian administration in 1951, thanks to an intrepid former Assam Rifles officer, later an administrative officer called Major Bob Cutting. So in a way, Arunachal Pradesh is extremely important because it is one of the hot disputes between India and China. Arunachal Pradesh shares boundaries with Bhutan on the west, Myanmar on the east, and Tibet on the north. Tibet, of course, is now under Chinese control. So therefore, Chinese say that Arunachal Pradesh also belongs to China. In fact, the 1962 war between India and China was mainly fought in what was then NEFA, now Arunachal Pradesh, along to the east of Arunachal Pradesh, and Tawang area, which is West Arunachal Pradesh. These were the two main theaters of war of 1962. But Arunachal Pradesh is much more than just a security problem between India and China. Its natural beauty is bewitching. It's alluring. And in fact, those who cannot afford to go to Switzerland may want to go to Arunachal Pradesh and visit various tourist spots that it has now, both in Western Arunachal Pradesh, Central Arunachal Pradesh, and Eastern Arunachal Pradesh. Namdapa Reserve Forest, for instance, is a beautiful natural reserve for various flora and fauna. There are any number of waterfalls in that state during monsoons. And the snow also makes its presence felt in Tawang and in places like Walong and the higher reaches of Arunachal Pradesh. So it's also a tourist attraction now for many Indians who have to, of course, take inner line permit to get there. But that's a very small administrative matter you have to overcome. After Arunachal became a state, it's developed faster. Many roads have now been built. There were no airports to speak of earlier. Even today, there is only one airport for the capital. But it is well connected by helicopter service. Several helipads have been now built in remote areas of Arunachal Pradesh. Its people are hardworking, industrious, and are also now traveling more out of Arunachal Pradesh to study at various educational centers. The younger generation is much more enterprising than ever before. And more interestingly, the common language between more than 20 tribes that Arunachal Pradesh has is Hindi. So if you go to even the remotest part of Arunachal Pradesh, it's easy to communicate with the people there because Hindi is a spoken language. It's a common language. It's in fact a language preferred by the locals to speak to each other, as I mentioned. So Arunachal Pradesh is something that all of you, if you haven't visited, is worth visiting, and it'll give you much bang for your money to go to Arunachal Pradesh, then go to Switzerland, which is a very small country. Arunachal Pradesh is much larger to explore. It also has a very big significance politically. It's a sensitive state between India and China. It's one of the hotspots of dispute between the two countries. And therefore, Arunachal Pradesh is now getting the attention that it deserves in terms of infrastructure building, roads, tunnels, helipads, airports, and even a railway line that has gone into Arunachal Pradesh after years of wait, after decades of wait for a railway link to the rest of the country. The other state that I'm going to talk about is Mizoram. I've spoken about the Mizo Accord of July 1986 and subsequently how that state became prosperous, peaceful, and is developing fast. The Mizoram state again was a union territory between 1972 and 1987. After the accord was signed in July 1986 between the MNF, the Mizo National Front, and the Government of India, it became a state on 20th February 1987. While Arunachal Pradesh has the largest land area among the northeastern states, Mizoram has the second lowest area in the northeastern states, but the lowest population, just about 10 lakh according to the 2011 census. Now, the Mizos are very educated, and in fact, it has got the highest literacy rate in India, apart from Kerala, which is a larger state. But among the smaller states, it's got the highest literacy rate of above 95%, because many of its citizens have studied up to class 10 and beyond, have gone outside, have done well in central government services, in income tax, in excise, in customs, in information and broadcasting, you name it. And they're all very accomplished people. In fact, it was also the only state in the Northeast where a rebel turned chief minister has ruled that state, has governed that state at least twice. Zoram Thanga, who was the leader of the Mizo National Army as an underground leader between 1966 and 1986, went on to become his chief minister. After his leader, Lal Denga, also became a chief minister for a brief period. But Zoram Thanga is currently the chief minister. And he is perhaps the only elected ex-insurgent leader to govern a state more than twice in a small state like Mizoram. And he has done well for himself. His party has done well for himself. So Mizoram has turned the corner in 1986. It saw 20 years of insurgency between 1966 and 1986. It also has the dubious distinction of being the only state whose population was bombed by the Indian Air Force on 5th March 1966. And that dark chapter is more or less forgotten, but it is important to remember that insurgency had to be quelled that time, and the government of Mrs. Indira Gandhi that time, who had just become prime minister in January 1966, ordered the bombing of the population or the rebel hideouts in Mizoram, what was then district of Assam, a separate district of Assam, not even a union territory. And thankfully, has been the only instance where the Indian Air Force has been used against India's own population. But that sorry chapter is quite behind us now. And Mizoram is one of the more developed, more prosperous states in the Northeast, although there are problems of drug addiction, alcoholism, and the attendant problems that come with it. Both Arunachal Pradesh and Mizoram have done better than they had done in the previous 20 years or previous 15 years as union territory, simply because now there is an elected government which governs the state. And despite their remoteness and their backwardness, they've done well in these past 35 years. They can do more. But being one of the two of the youngest states in that region and in the country, the two states can take full credit for doing well on Human Development Index, on sanitation, on health matters, and also sort of getting closer to rest of India than ever before. So that's what I wanted to flag, because these are areas which are not normally discussed in mainstream media or even on YouTube, because most people do not even know where they are located or what are the capitals of these states. I've been fortunate, as I mentioned number of times, that I lived and reported from India's Northeast between 1983 and 2006, and continue to have friends and colleagues and acquaintances in those states, which gives me a different insight than otherwise would have given me. So I'm always grateful for the opportunities one got in traveling to these remote, beautiful areas, pristine areas, full of rivers and mountains and hills and jungles, and something that all Indians must try and visit while they have the chance. These two states are just two of those seven states, or if you consider Sikkim as part of Northeast, then eight states are again something that I always urge on my programs. You must have noticed that all Indians must visit, because ultimately they are part of this country and least explored part of this country. If you explore it, you will find many hidden gems in these two states and rest of the Northeast. That's all I had to say in this week's episode. You know where to reach us, how to give us feedback, and of course, follow us on our social media handles. Spread the word amongst friends, colleagues, family, your office co-workers, the networks that you have, virtual and otherwise. Until the next time, it's goodbye.